Hello and welcome to the Health in the Real World podcast. I'm Chris Jahnke, joined today by Dr. Carrie Heineman. Carrie is a multiple time guest. She helps people to prepare food and to transition into a healthy lifestyle. Founder of, Family Meals First, right, Carrie?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Awesome. Well, Carrie, welcome. Thank you so much. Finish that introduction for anybody who doesn't know you.
So I'm founder of Family Meals First. I'm a mom of four. I have a PhD in nutrition. And just briefly, I left my job about 15 years ago and spent about 10 years being a stay-at-home mom, and then realized that I felt like I was even more qualified than ever to help moms with nutrition advice. So I started this small business and I'm now helping moms feed their kids.
That's awesome. It's interesting that you're a mother of four. I'm a father of four. And my next guest today is also a mother of four. So it's like the big family morning here on the Health in the Real World podcast. So we're talking today specifically about empowering others. There's so many different ways that we can do this and think about this. What has, you know, you mentioned 15 years ago, you went out on your own, started your business. What has been that driving force, and how would you relate that to empowering others?
So I love working with moms because moms are in a very vulnerable position. They've got kids and they're trying to figure everything out. And I love to be able to work with them and teach them some nutrition basics so that they can then teach their children nutrition skills. And I think nutrition skills are so important for kids to learn at a young age because that empowers them to be healthy for the rest of their lives. If they know how to eat well and to make some simple meals at home, then they have the power to control their health for the rest of their life.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is so interesting how much our kids learn from us just through like osmosis. And so by empowering the mom specifically, you are absolutely teaching that next generation. And I know it doesn't happen immediately. I remember one story of a Stanford dietitian, and she, you know, had a master's degree and was very qualified, and her son absolutely refused to eat anything green. And I remember reading her article and she said, you know, at a certain point, I just gave up. I said, you know what, eventually he will either eat it or he won't. And so he survived on like mac and cheese and all that, you know, food that we know is not very healthy, but the kids love. And when he was in his mid-20s, he went super healthy. So it got in somehow, right?
So I also went to Stanford as an undergraduate, and I went to Davis to get my PhD, and I have an 8-year-old who currently does not really love to eat vegetables. We wrap his vegetables in a piece of bread so that he doesn't have to actually like have the vegetable touch his mouth. Perfect. But we have a lot of conversations about why it's important to eat healthy food and why we keep trying. And he does eat a lot of fruit. So I am telling all the moms and dads out there, all the caregivers, that you're not alone.
So what would you tell somebody specifically? I know it's cool hearing the story. What would you tell any specific strategies to empower moms and dads in that particular situation?
So a couple of things. Number one is not to give up and not feel like it's you or it's your kid. This is just really common. Kids have many more taste buds than we do as adults. And also, food is something about control as well for many kids. And it's one of the few things that they have control over. So I think if you can take a step back and remember that like, it's not about you, it's not about your relationship with your child. It's about them wanting control and them also being more sensitive than you are. And then I think also it's important to remember that you're exposing your kids to as many things as possible, right? You know, we can also look at like a different arena when I talk about this all the time with my kids. Like, I want them to expose as many things that they can while they're home with me, and so that we can have conversations about it, so that I don't send them off at 18 to go away and they haven't experienced what it is like to be away from me for the day or to eat out on their own or those types of things, right? So it's the same with fruits and vegetables, right? And there's lots of strategies for exposing your kids. You can garden with them. You can take them to the grocery store and you can let them pick out things. You can hand them a recipe book and they can go through and pick out some things that they would like to eat and then either make it together or make it apart. You can also try doing like arts and crafts with fruits and vegetables. I did one time I went into an elementary school and I took beets and we made them into stamps, and the kids all used them as stampers and left with a beet stamp on their hand. And all those kids went home that night and ate beets. I can't promise that they ate beets ever again, but they did have It's that day and they were excited about it. So
no, that really works. If they're involved in the preparation, I think that is a really good strategy. My youngest is 4.5. She's almost 5. And she's had a little bit of sniffle the past couple of weeks. She's been sleeping a lot. And I said, you know, I'm going to make a green drink for you and you're going to feel better. And she really wanted to participate. So I said, absolutely, let's do it. So we're putting in all these vegetables and we're putting in ginger and like raw garlic and, you know, avocado and lemon juice. And she got to contribute and she was just down in that thing. And it wasn't the worst tasting, but I can't imagine that it would have been good for a kid who wasn't involved in the participation. So I think that really went a long way in adding that ability. So that's, again, going back to the topic of today, you know, empowering others. Again, if you're just joining live, this is Carrie Heneman joining us today. She's talking to us about how to empower others, specifically with food, healthy lifestyle choices. So Carrie, can you share some practical tips for building that resilience in the face of challenges? So it's one thing to be empowered when you're not being challenged, but it's another thing when you have those challenges right in your face. What would you say about that?
I mean, I think, again, it goes back to not giving up. I think in the nutrition world, which is where I work in, I'm a big promoter of fruits and vegetables. And I think a lot of people are kind of either all in with fruits and vegetables or not in. And again, it's about resilience and kind of you're running a marathon, you're not running a sprint. I always encourage people to eat more fruits and vegetables. It doesn't have to be an all or none. And I also tell people it's more of like 80-20, right? So that we eat healthy most of the time, but food is also about relationships and it's about culture and it's about celebration of things, so that it's not just about eating healthy all the time and it's not just about eating unhealthy all the time, right? Like you are in it for the long haul and you want to avoid things like heart disease and diabetes and other chronic diseases, right? So you want to eat fruits and vegetables as many as you can, as often as you can, but you also don't want to feel like you can't go to a birthday party because there's not going to be organic fruits and vegetables and you might have to eat a bite of cake. I can't hear you. You're muted.
Sorry.
It's okay.
the backfiring of the mute button. I love that concept of the 80-20. I think that's the second time I've done that. I should just leave it unmuted. You guys hear my background noise. It's okay. The concept of 80-20, I think, is huge. I occasionally will, you know, talk to somebody at a party, let's say, and they find out that I'm a trainer. And here I am like stuffing myself with cake and ice cream. And they go, I didn't think trainers were allowed to eat that. And that is a perfect segue into that conversation of, well, it's not about being allowed or not allowed to eat something. You know, it's not what I do at a birthday party that makes me healthy. It's what I do the other, like you said, 80% of the time. So I think that's really, you know, really beneficial. How many meals do we eat in a week? Probably what, 21, right? 3 times 7 days.
Yeah.
And out of those 21 meals, if, you know, 15 to 18 of them are planned, right? I think that's a great way to empower people to just very slowly step up their game with their fruits and vegetables. Was it hard for you to make the transition, or were you ever at a point where you weren't eating healthy? Like what inspired you to go and study and go to, you know, grad school and learn about all this stuff?
So when I was in high school, I wanted to be an archaeologist and I started swimming. I had swam as a young kid and then I started swimming in high school. And my high school swim coach was really into having us eat different meals at different times before events. And I really noticed how it impacted my performance. So as high school went on, I really decided that I wanted to study nutrition. And when I started as an undergraduate, I was going into a nutrition program and they stopped offering nutrition classes at my undergraduate school. So I took every type of nutrition class that I could. I even like did a design your own major and studied nutrition there and worked with professors that were doing nutrition with all intent to go to medical school for graduate school, only to find out my senior year. And I will tell you, I'm a planner. I do not like doing things last minute, but fall quarter of my senior year, I was really convinced that medicine and nutrition were not really one at that point. So I applied to nutrition graduate schools, ended up going to nutrition graduate school and wanted to really work with people and started in a lab that was really biochemical. It was not people studies. And so I eventually worked my way through and finally ended up doing a study where I worked with food stamps in county offices and worked at elementary schools and looked at increasing fruit and vegetable consumptions in families and working with farmers and getting more produce into the schools. So I mean, I definitely have kind of just studied nutrition a lot, have thought about it a lot. I've also gone through 4 pregnancies and lots of ups and downs in my life. And what I always keep coming back to is 1, moderation, 2, focusing on what makes me feel best, right? And that's what I talk about my kids. When we talk about food, we talk about food being fuel, right? Food is not good or bad. Food is really fuel. And so that doesn't mean that, again, that I'm not going to go through times where I just, you know, when I had 3 kids under 4, like I was crazy busy. And I'm not going to lie, there were times where like I was running on chocolate and caffeine, right? Yeah. Because that's all I could do. People would say like, you know, you should drink more water or whatever. And I was like, I don't have time to stop and fill up a glass of water. Like,
I don't really have time to drink water.
Yes.
Too busy. No, it's so true. Because...
But it doesn't mean that I couldn't get back on the horse, right? Yeah, like I could, you know, it just, I had to go through that phase, but I, you know, when things calmed down a little bit, I was able to say, you know what, I need to take care of myself. And so I'm going to start slowly adding things back. And again, I also never completely lost it, right? You know, when I did have a little bit of time and my husband was home, I would make sure to sit down and have like a solid meal with him or, and with our kids, right? So, you know, it's got to be, that's why I'm always telling people like shoot for the middle of the road, right? Like it doesn't, don't let it ever get to totally zero, but you don't also ever have to feel like you need it to be 100% perfect.
Wow. You know, I really like that for a lot of different things. Shoot for the middle of the road. There's just so many issues where if you go too far to either side, you're going to get into trouble. The balance, I think the 80-20 is great. What you were talking about, you had 3 kids under 4. I think that's, you know, you were making choices at that point though, and going back to empowering others, when you feel like you don't have a choice, that's when you don't feel empowered. But if you feel like, okay, 1, I know a lot about nutrition, and 2, I know that whatever I'm about to put in my mouth is not ideal, but 3, I'm making a choice and I know there are going to be consequences, but I know how to get back on that horse when I'm done. That's how you can really keep that power and use it as a choice, right?
Yeah. And just, and remember, like, it's never too late. You never have to feel guilty, right? Like it can be. And I think it's also important to empower yourself to forgive yourself, right? That like, you know, you can have an off day or an off week or an off month or even an off year and come back. But you know, it's never too late to start eating healthy and you can make small changes. And you need to also find time, be empowered to carve out time for yourself too, right? Like it's okay to say, you know, I'm going to leave the soccer game 5 minutes early or whatever so that I can make sure to go home for a few minutes and get some lunch or whatever it is, right? That
I think it's great. I think when I first was a trainer, I remember I was doing some very detailed work with posture analysis and things like that. And a lot of people would ask me questions about, oh, is this good? Is this bad? And my answer so often was, it depends. And I really think that applies here, right? I'm reminded of a client that I had a few hours ago. She said it's her dad's 97th birthday today. Wow. And he said what he wants for his birthday is wine, cake, and barbecue in that order. And I said, yeah, he's 97. He can reverse the order. He can do whatever he wants, right? So exactly. It really depends on where you are in life, you know, what your situation is. And again, like we said, you make a choice to sort of jump off the wagon, but jump back on. It's the 80-20, not feeling guilty and continuing to move forward. Is there any other stories that you can think of with that? I thought that was pretty funny reversing that, but,
I mean, I just, you know, it kind of, as you know, as a parent of 4 kids, like our life kind of ebbs and flows and there are still times, I mean, right now, I feel like we're in another kind of crazy phase is what I'm trying to say, because they've got four kids and activities, right? So it's a similar thing. Now, though, I'm not having the lack of sleep, so I'm a little bit better placed that I can plan a little bit better. So I try to make sure that, you know, I have healthy options when I can. Like if we're at a swim meet all day, I make sure to, you know, pack myself a sandwich, and I pack my kids a sandwich too, right? Now, it doesn't mean that we're not going to get the nachos or the slushy that they want, you know, to celebrate at the end or whatever. But I try and be a little more prepared at this point in my life. But again, it's not always the case. You know, if we have back-to-back soccer games all day for 2 days in a row, the second day, I'm not going to be as prepared.
Right. I think that is a helpful guideline, though, almost to over prepare in a way. You know, they may not eat it. They may have plenty of snacks and other things, or you may go out with the family, you know, after the game. But just the fact that you have that preparation, or keeping large water bottles in the car, or whatever it takes in that regard. But yeah, I think that's great. What's the age range of your kids?
So I've got a daughter who's 16, and then I've got a 14, 12, and 8-year-old son. So, I've got high school, middle school, elementary school. I've got boys, girls. We're
nice.
We feel extremely blessed, but a little bit crazy. I'm not going
to lie. It's hard. Yeah, it's hard. My range is 4 to 12. My son just turned 12. So we're in the thick of it. You know, not really much wake up in the middle of the night. So it's more sleep again. And so some of these routines and rituals I find very helpful. And I think that is one way, again, taking back our power and pre-planning, like pre-paving. One thing that's been really helpful for me personally, maybe I'm sure you have stories about this as well, but it's like looking forward in the calendar. I want to see how many days ahead can I look in the calendar and check off everything that I'm going to need to prep for that time. Because what usually happens is if you don't, something has to give, right? And a lot of times it's food because, oh shoot, I forgot to pack food. And it's just really easy to go to any fast food restaurant and just grab something to stave off your hunger temporarily. So I find that the calendar, seeing how many days ahead you can prep, is very, very beneficial.
Yeah, two stories on that I can share. One, I make my kids' lunches a week ahead of time on the weekends. I make the lunches for the whole week. And I kind of have a system so that, you know, towards the end of the week, they're eating things that kind of are more shelf stable, like, you know, applesauce and baby carrots and stuff. And during the beginning of the week, they eat things more like sandwiches and things like that. But I pack a healthy lunch for all four of my kids on Saturday or Sunday so that they can have that. And again, like, my 14-year-old just went to Disneyland with his band group, and he came home saying, you know, Mom, after eating junk food for 2 days in a row, I really miss the food that you prepare and like the thought of it. And I thought, okay, like it's getting through. So, you know, it doesn't mean, again, that every lunch comes home completely eaten, or that, you know, they're always so happy that I prepare these lunches. I definitely get, you know, it's the same thing again, no more sandwiches, right? So on and so forth. But they do appreciate it, and it does go in there, and it's worth the effort.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, sometimes you have to taste the Disneyland food to realize. And like you said, that's kind of how you got started, right? Your coach had you do different types of meals, and you got to see what worked and what gave you energy. You know, no judgment, just like, do I like that energy or do I like that energy? I get to choose, right? That's empowerment.
It's complete empowerment. Yeah. I think I have lots of conversations with my kids around food and how it makes them feel. And again, like, you know, it's okay. Go to the birthday party and eat what you want. But then when you come home and you have a tummy ache, you know, maybe that was because of the food that you ate. Right. And it doesn't mean that you should feel bad about it. It just is a kind of, you can make a mental note. So, you know, when you're an adult and maybe you're getting sick a lot, you may want to think about like, hey, maybe I need to eat more fruits and vegetables, or maybe I need to cut back on X, Y, and Z, right? That you are empowered to make a choice about what you put in your body. And I think that's so important for kids to hear.
Yeah. And this is something you're teaching kids, and anybody listening who doesn't feel like they've mastered this yet, you're the first kid. You are teaching yourself first. And again, it is that cause and effect. It's like, I'm trying to think of something that is not too bad. So, okay. So like this, let's say it just rained and you are walking through a park and you have to get right over there And in between you and where you want to get to is a big grass area. And you know, it just rained, it's muddy, there are grass clippings everywhere. Or if you just walk a little bit further, you can stay on the sidewalk and avoid the grass. So you're not going to have, you know, wet shoes, etc. There's no really wrong answer, right? You're going to have wet shoes, they're going to be little grass all over it. But, you know, there's a cause and effect. And so as a kid, you're not going to know necessarily, and you're not going to care. You're just going to run straight across because you know somebody's going to clean up after you. But as we learn more cause and effect, we can walk around. So I think it's important to reiterate that that's what food choices are. It's no judgment, you know, eat what you eat and know that there are certain results. There's lack of energy, there's obesity, there's high blood pressure, hypertension, heart disease, you know, the whole array of things that they've proven are diet related, diabetes, and those are the results. So there you go. No judgment.
Yeah, I could not agree more. I think, you know, food is such a tricky topic because everybody eats, right? So then there are so many people that are quote unquote experts because they eat, right? So again, it's important to empower yourself to eat what makes you feel well, and also empower yourself to get educated, right? To know the facts about what you're eating and to know who you can trust. And, you know, I always go back to again that if it's too good to be true, especially when it's diet related, it most likely is. So
do you have an example that you're thinking of?
To know who you can trust.
Do you have an example that you're thinking of, the too good to be true thing?
I mean, the thing that comes to mind right now is the keto diet, right? That I hear so many people that are on it. And again, I think there are so many great resources out there, and I don't want to villainize any one thing because I think short term, some of these things work. But again, I want to empower people to eat well for the rest of their lives. And I will tell you time and time again, it has been proven that short term solutions never solve the long-term problem, right? So you can follow the keto diet for 2 weeks, a month, and see results, but you're not going to be able to sustain it, and it's not going to make you feel well in the long term.
It's like you need an exit strategy, right? You need a, how am I going to return back to the real world? I think I posted something about carbs recently. I don't know if you're one of the ones that commented, but on LinkedIn, and about how carbs need to be reintroduced into polite society, that type of thing. So
yes,
we need them. We need to eat carbohydrates. That's how our body runs and produces.
Our brain runs on glucose, right? I think people forget that if we don't have glucose, our brain doesn't function at its best, which is why one of the side effects of the keto diet is brain fog, right?
Yep. I agree. There's, if it seems too good to be true, or it just seems like, is that normal? Like, I don't think anything new has been discovered in the diet world. Maybe new as far as, you know, we learned about what's actually happening, but we've always known that, you know, salads are healthy and that you need to eat a balanced, you know, variety of food. So I think it really is that mental self-talk, feeling empowered, feeling like it's something you can do. You can wrap your arms around the goal, right? And I think that is really important for people. Carrie, do you want to finish with like a... Let's see, how do we summarize this? Again, empowering others is the big picture, specifically with nutrition. How would you tell somebody, like, what are the next 24 hours? What should they look like? How can you start thinking about empowering yourself and then your family with nutrition?
So I think the best way to start is to kind of take a self-assessment of your diet and think about things that easy changes that you can make. You know, one of the simplest is eating more fruits and vegetables. You know, if you're starting at, you eat a fruit a day, maybe you're going to 2. If you're already at 5, maybe you're going to 6. Maybe if you're 10, maybe you're focusing on some other things, right? But there's always a place to start. And I think it's also important to have a conversation with your whole family about food and about making healthy choices most of the time. And then finally, I think family meals are so important that my small business is really about nutrition, but I chose to keep the name Family Meals First because I think that's one of the best ways to empower yourself to sit down regularly and feed yourself well, and also to empower your kids to sit down, have conversations about food, and have conversations about other things as well.
That's awesome. That's great. I want to thank you for joining me today. I want to remind everybody too, and this is something that I'm sharing with everybody. I just produced a video, so it's called Workout Smarter, Not Harder. And let me pop that up just one more time. chrisjanky.com/24. Much of us have back pain, and so this is just kind of a call to action to get you educated about back pain and the sources of it and how you can get rid of it. Carrie, how do people get in touch with you, with Family Meals First? What's your website, social media?
So my website is familymealsfirst.com, and I just updated it. I've got an online community that I've just started, so I'm welcoming people to come in and learn directly from me. And I'm on Instagram at familymealsfirst as well.
Awesome. And then also healthintherealworld.com up in the top right corner. I just got that redone as well. So if you guys have any questions for Carrie, you can actually leave a voice message from the home screen. Just hold down the button and talk. And that leaves a voice message for either Carrie, myself, or any of the other guests, healthintherealworld.com. And just want to thank Carrie again. I think you've been on 2-3 times.
I love chatting with you, Chris. We always have great conversations.
Good repeat guests. We have a lot in common. And I think we have kind of similar missions as far as what we want to bring to the world and to families and to helping to empower people to live their best life, to be healthy, happy. So again, Carrie Heeneman. Thank you, Carrie.
Thanks, Chris.